Well, I already mentioned the series that we are beginning today and the focus of today's sermon, which is the Word, and that's mentioned a number of times in our reading today. So I want to jump right into this and start in verse 1 with you. You're going to see that there's a lot going on in John chapter 1, and I've kind of divided it into three sections. I'll also mention that our confirmation class has started up, and they are beginning today that beloved task of taking sermon notes. So I might pause along the way just to point out to them the main sections, but I did give them the tip, and you might appreciate this, that usually at the top of each slide is the main section we're talking about. So we're going to start out looking at verses 1 through 5 of John 1 and talking about true God. Now, this section, there's just a ton of stuff packed into five verses, and I really, even if we just looked at that today for our whole time, I couldn't do it justice. But the gospel writer, John, is using just a whole number of images or words or metaphors to help us understand how he is introducing his book and the subject of his book. And we looked at this morning in confirmation, and a little bit frustratingly, he delays telling you exactly who the subject is until about verse 17 or so. So we kind of fished around a little bit this morning to say, who is this Word that was with God and who was God and who was present at creation, and who is this life and this light? And you don't find out until about verse 17 that it's Jesus he's talking about. I mean, you may know that because you've been to church before or Sunday school or something. But that's how he begins. He begins with God, who is mystery and infinite and far away and in a very real sense, unknowable. And he runs up against right away kind of the limits of human language to describe this God. So he uses words like word, life, light. We talked about each of those in confirmation this morning about how if this character that John is going to be talking about were a superhero with these names, what would we expect of that superhero? So if we had a superhero called the Amazing Word, what might you be the character or qualities of that superhero? And we talked about, he'd probably be good with words. He'd be good at explaining things. That superhero would use words to accomplish good, that sort of thing. We talked about what if the superhero was the mighty life, or we talked about what it means to be the life of a party, and we talked about how that being would be full of energy and creative power. And in fact, John talks about how the Word, the life, the light was present at creation, and through him all things came into being. So this being who is God and yet with God, and we can't really even wrap our minds around that. We can know him as the Word, we can know him as the life, and then we also know him as the light. And we talked about what if you had a superhero called the Marvelous Light. And I'll share with you one speculation was that maybe his superpower would be to turn into a giant glow stick. Maybe not Jesus, but we talked about how light does a number of things, right? It shines, it can help us see when things are dark or when things are hard to see. It can actually protect us from dangers if there are dangers in the dark. By lighting up the room or the path or the area around us, we can see clearly the circumstances we're in. And we kind of talked about what it would mean for this eternal with God, is God being to be the light. And so John moves through this introduction and tells us God is infinite, and before everything was created, there was God, and with God was somehow this other being who if we try to understand him, we use word and life and light, and he even is somehow God. And then and he takes a slight detour and then comes back to our second section, which is in verses, I think, 8 through 14. Sorry, 14 through 18. And here's the big jump, right? John has introduced his story with this mysterious, powerful, very complex story of a being who is God, who is with God, and then we get to and is truly God. And then we get to the second part of his introduction And he says that same Word and life and light who is with God and is God, he has come among us and put on human flesh and lived among us, dwelled among us. And so this second section I call true human. He still doesn't name him as Jesus until the very end of this. But the big second step of this giant story introduction is that this mystery that we really can't know, in fact, has come down among us. Right? So we read in these verses that we, in him, in this enfleshed, truly human one, he's still God. He still was with God. He still is life and light and word. But now, through him, we see God's glory. Right? We can behold what was unknowable, unseeable, unfathomable before. In this enfleshed one, we suddenly can see and hear and understand and process. And it says in verse 14... we connected these dots in confirmation this morning. It says, "This one, the Word, became flesh and lived among us, and in him we saw God's glory. And he was full of God's grace and truth." And then in verse 17, it says, grace and truth were realized through Jesus. So the dots are connected. Jesus, the one that the rest of this story is going to be about, he is the one who was true God with God, is God. Through him all things are created. He's the Word and the life and the light and all that mystery. He's the one that has also become true human so that we could see and touch and follow and listen and understand and grab hold of. He's the one that has made God accessible to us. So not only does he show us God's grace and God's truth, I love the last bit of verse 18 that says, kind of sums up the introduction. No one has seen God at any time except the only begotten God, Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father. The last line, he has explained God to us. Jesus, as the Word, as the life, as the light, he's the one that explains God to us. And that sets up this gospel, this story that John is going to unfold over chapters and chapters describing the life of Jesus. Not just the life of a great teacher or rabbi or man who lived a certain number of years on the earth, but the infinite God who has become enfleshed to explain God to us in terms we can understand, in ways that we can lay hold of. So the third section I want to talk about this morning actually skips over a few verses to verse 45, to the end of the chapter. And now we've kind of moved out of that mysterious theological realm down to the very practical, and we hear a story of how Jesus does this, how Jesus accomplishes this, bringing the unknowable, unseeable, infinite God down among us so that we can see and behold, and how he explains God to us. And what's just preceded these verses is that some folks have heard of Jesus, seen Jesus, come to check him out, ask Jesus, hey, what are you about? And Jesus has said to them, come and see. And right, and that's the whole setup, right? In me, you'll see and know God. So come and see. Come check me out. See what I'm about. Listen to what I say. Follow me around. See what I do. And you'll behold God. And in that initial group, one of them, Philip, who has come and checked Jesus out, who has come to believe he is the big deal. He is God. He is the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. Philip, as you heard Bobby say, went and found a friend named Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, you've got to come see. We found the one, the Savior of Israel, the one that God has sent for the world. Come and see. And Nathanael is kind of skeptical. And here's, you know, you said he's from Nazareth. Is anybody good come from there? And Philip uses those same words in that same invitation, just come and see. And there's this wonderful exchange when he does, where Jesus sees him and knows him and knows more about him than anyone should. And Nathanael is kind of wowed by this impression, this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus says, there's more coming. Just wait and see. And reinforces that invitation to follow. And what I really want to highlight in this this third section of John 1, it's the first of story after story of Jesus bringing heaven down to earth among us so that we can see and behold God. And there's going to be stories of, you know, a wedding and sick people and blind people and people in complex relationships and people who are part of Israel, people who are not a part of Israel. And Jesus is going to interact with all these people in many different settings, do the same thing, and that is explain God to them, show God to them. That's why we use the Gospel of John for confirmation, because we want the students in there to have this year-long encounter of just seeing Jesus and what he has to show them and show us about God. What I want to invite you to do as we begin this series, I want to say this carefully and hope that you hear it carefully, is I want to invite you to be a part of what Philip did. And that is to invite others to come and see Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to memorize some sort of salvation presentation or carry pamphlets or booklets with you or really do anything complicated other than invite friends and family and folks you know to check Jesus out. Jesus is amazing enough that he can speak for himself. I mean, his story in the pages of this book has transformed billions of lives and the world around in history. And even Philip and those first disciples, the reason they checked out Jesus was because John the Baptist sent some of them and said, you should go check him out. And they did, and they saw God in him. What I want to invite you to is not some sort of evangelism program or new, you know, go get visitors emphasis of the church. It's the basic task of a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And if you raised your hand just a minute ago, I didn't coordinate this with Bobby, but it was inspired. If you raised your hand when Bobby said, how many of you follow Jesus? That's what followers of Jesus do. They're Phillips. They tell others, not look at me and my faith, look at the things I know, but it's, hey, check out Jesus. He's amazing. That may look like inviting someone to church where I do my very best to talk about Jesus all the time and point towards him, but it may not be that. It may be one of the activities of the church, a Bible study or wings night or anything else. It may be, we're doing this thing at church where we're looking at one book in the Bible that just kind of chronicles Jesus' life. I'd be interested in what you think of that. And maybe you can talk about it with your friend. The whole point is not to point people to a good shepherd or a certain pastor or yourself, but to invite people to come and see Jesus. And my prayer for you today, and I'll pray this in a minute, as well as this whole fall, will be that God will give us multiple opportunities to join in that invitation. Come and see Jesus. However those words fit in your life, it doesn't have to be those specific ones, but to be the person that can point people in the direction of Jesus, who is all that John said. He is God. He was with God. He created the world. He was timeless and yet stepped into human flesh just so people like you and me and this world could see and know God. That's Jesus. That's why he's the Savior. That's why he is God. So again, I'm not going to take tallies or require you to memorize anything. It's not that hard. It's this basic invitation of, hey, come see this, check out this person who has impacted my life. And I get the pressure of, well, if everybody around you just raised your hand, you don't want to be the one who didn't raise their hand. But if when Bobby asked that, you think, well, I don't really know if I'm a follower or what that means exactly, then I'll just give you the same invitation. Come check him out, right? Jesus, again, is powerful enough to change lives himself. Come, you know, week after week, from now to the end of November, we're just going to be reading these stories. We have one class that kind of digs into them a little deeper. From 9:30 to 10:30 here in church, we're going to look at a chapter each week for the next 10 or 12 weeks. And the whole point is going to be, we're going to look at Jesus because he came to show us what God is like. It's that straightforward and that simple. And I am convinced that That is how God reaches people, right? Through Jesus. That's why we call him the Savior of the world. It's not going to be through my fancy words are a great Sunday school class or the most delicious wings you've ever eaten. Those are all great things, but it's always going to be through Jesus. So I invite you to that, whether it's you or God put somebody in your path. I believe that's the first and basic calling of being a follower. Let's pray together. God, we read these stories in the Bible about people like Peter and James and John and Philip, and we think, well, they're superheroes of the faith. They were disciples. They do amazing things. I can't be like that. And yet, if we read their stories, we realize they were just as frail and weak and fallible as any of us are. And yet, Jesus chose them to join in what he was doing. And so, Lord, what he was doing was showing the world you, and he used people like the disciples and people like us to invite others to come and see. Would you reissue that invitation to us that we might again check Jesus out? He may, at this point, just be a set of old stories from childhood or something we committed to a long time ago that we kind of casually do now. We may just need a fresh look at him to reinvigorate our faith in our lives. Or Lord, if there are others in our life that we have the friendship or the opportunity to invite to Jesus, would you show us that opportunity and give us the boldness to do that, not in a cheesy or awkward or forceful way, but in a winsome way, because we believe he's the real deal. Would you help us to speak those simple words or give that simple invitation that would point people in his direction? We thank you for showing yourself to us. We thank you for Jesus, who put a human face on your infinite and invisible and powerful glory that we can't know. We thank you that Jesus, in him we can see you face to face and hear you speak to us directly. We ask that you hear and respond to these things in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.